Well, I guess let's start back at your beginning. So when you were a kid, did you grow up around here or where'd you grow up?
Okay, I grew up in Hancock, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And my parents had a dairy farm and we had a gravel pit right across the street. And that's where we spent our summers, was in the gravel pit. And swimming and fishing in the gravel pit was our thing there.
Okay. So you fished from a young age?
I did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that just, that was what you guys could do for fun and it was always available?
I did that, and then my dad would, after we got the cows milked at night, he would sometimes take me down to Hancock to one of the lakes. He borrowed one of the guy's boats down there and we'd go down and pan fish a little bit. And he fished anytime he could. It wasn't, you know, more, he did ice fishing almost all the time because that's the time of the year that farmers have that they can actually go do something besides work. But so he spent his time ice fishing, and so we kind of grew up with people fishing and stuff. But I'm probably the only one in the family that really took to it a lot, more so. My one sister just now started fishing because of me, but otherwise, yeah, we just did fishing a lot of times in the farm.
And what was it about fishing that, you know, got you, or it still gets you, I guess?
I think it's just to go out there and see if you're going to catch something. It's the unknown. You never know what you're going to catch or how big it's going to be, or are you going to be there all day and nothing, or all day and catch a ton of them? Or I think it's just the unknown of what you're out there for.
So did you get into walleye before you met your husband, or was that around the same time?
Once I got married, he'd walleye fished, and so I started walleye fishing then. I had never walleye fished and stuff. I basically just shore fished or from the gravel pit and stuff before that. And then when we got married, we got our first little boat. It was like a little bitty $400 little flat boat, and then worked our way up till at the end, after the last boat we had bought was a Lund, and then we went, we would go to Canada quite often, and then at one point we started going up to upper Minnesota instead of going into Canada, and found that the fishing was just as good in Minnesota. So we fished there for 11 years in a row. All of our vacations were always fishing. With the kids, we would rent cabins and fish, or, you know, that kind of thing. But any kind of vacation we took, it was pretty much always related to fishing.
That had to be one of the things that helped get you guys together. Like, you found out you had something that,
yeah,
had in common.
Right. Yeah. That and bow hunting. I had been bow hunting by myself, and then he was a hunter, and his family was real sports fishing and hunting, and so I just kind of fit right in with all of them too.
Well, I'm sure from that point of view, you were the perfect woman.
Well, I don't know. Maybe sometimes you wish I'd stayed home. I don't know.
But I mean, that had to be something special that you guys could share.
It was, yeah. We would always, I mean, basically, we would go fishing, you know, all of the time, and then hunting together. So we fished and hunted.
Because I'm sure there were probably other couples that you knew, or other women, or other men, were probably like, well, I wish my wife would fish. I could go fishing more.
My brother-in-law said that all the time. He's like, I wish Emma would do that, would fish like that and stuff. I'd have somebody to go with and stuff. I just told him, be careful what you wish for.
So how did you guys treat fishing when you were in the boat? Was it a little competition? Was it friendly? Was it front of the boat, back of the boat?
I was always in the back. He was always in the front. Unfortunately, he always had to run the trolling motor, and he had to deal with the wind so that I always caught the first fish. No, it was pretty much that way. It's harder when you're in the front of the boat and you have to deal with all of the other elements that are out there than just sitting in the back and throwing your line in and stuff. But we would always try to see who would catch the first one, who would catch the biggest one, but that kind of type of thing. And we did a lot of catch and release.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm sure you ate some, but a lot of it was just the enjoyment of being out there?
Correct. Yeah, just being something to do, something outside. Nature, you just can't beat it.
So, I mean, for some people, like, well, fishing's what you do when it's nice out. Was there any restrictions?
If you're going to walleye fish, it's going to be the worst weather you can fish in is the best walleye bite. The wind's got to be blowing, the rain's got to be going. Otherwise, can I get that? I hear that phone.
Tethered,
yeah, hold on.
I'll grab that.
Okay, yeah. I was like, even worse is I can hear it in my ears.
Oh.
It's like my hearing aids.
No worries.
It's like, whoa, this is really distracting. I want to cut that part.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay.
So repeat, run that by me again. Like, so.
Oh, wait, just let me just shut this completely off. Okay. I'm going to turn it down. I'm just gonna, otherwise, it's going to ring again. Come on. Come on, let's shut off here. There we go. There, now it won't do that. Okay.
If I could just have you screw a tiny bit here, right? Perfect.
Okay.
So, I mean, that probably doesn't make sense for some people. Maybe that's why people don't catch as many walleye as they should, because they think of fishing as a nice weather activity.
Right, yeah. Walleye fishing, I always say, my husband always said it, is the crappier the weather, the better off the fishing will be. And it seems to run that way. They don't like a bright sunny day. And walleyes, I don't know if their eyes are more sensitive to the light or what it is, but they like a chop on top of the water. They like rain. They like wind. That is when you're walleye fishing, that's when you'll catch more fish.
And that's got to be why some people don't even bother trying, right?
Could be, yeah. You go out and you try. Yeah. You always, if you want to go out on a nice sunny day and you're going to walleye fish, you're not probably going to be as successful.
So what is it about walleye that made it worth it for you versus panfish or something else?
That was just my husband's thing. He just walleye fished, and so we basically just walleye fished all the time. We very seldom ever panfished and that kind of thing, and he would get annoyed with me when I'd say, well, can't we, like, just go throw a bobber in for a while or something, you know? But so it just, that was his thing, was walleye.
And so when you had kids, did they grow up in this too?
As soon as they were old enough to be in the boat, they were in the boat with us. And then we did start doing pan fishing more once the kids were in there, because you had to give them something to entertain. Or when the kids were real little, just make sure you had a bucket of minnows and they'd just play in the minnow bucket while you're fishing and that kind of thing. So, but yeah, they grew up fishing. My daughter, she still likes fishing a lot. My son, he's got his own boat and he fishes, and so they're still into fishing, probably not. They're still working, so they don't have the advantage I do of not working, that the time and stuff with kids and growing up, but they still fish.
And so when did your husband pass away?
He passed away, it'll be 10 years in August.
Okay, and was that sudden or?
Yeah, we were actually on a fishing trip up in Minnesota, our annual vacation that we would take, and we always take 10 to 14 days and go up there and rent a cabin. And we were up there and we were only there a few days, and he said, you know, he said, I just don't feel good. He said, I think I want to go home. And I'm like, well, if he wants to go home, that's not good, you know. So we came home, and then he waited a week or so and then went in and found out he had cancer. And that was like in early May, June, and then he passed away the first part of August.
That's really
so
quick.
It was fast, yeah, which is good for him. I mean, you don't want to see anybody suffer with that if they don't have to, but it was hard to it was just hard to believe it happened that fast.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that had, obviously, that's a very quick, devastating loss.
Yep, and once he was gone, I was like, okay, you know, I was just lost. I was still working, so I had my job, and but I figured I'm never going to be able to fish again, you know. And so I sold everything. I had a sale, and I sold all the baits. We sold the boat. We sold all of the fishing stuff. And then about two years or so later, when everything settled down more, and like, I really want to be fishing again. And so I started going out and buying that stuff again. And I actually bought a little pop-up shack on Marketplace for like $50, and I bought an auger, and I went out and I kind of did my own thing with it for a while. And then I thought, I really want to get something to haul my stuff onto the ice. And I posted on Ice Fishing Junkies asking about snow dogs. And the snow dogs were just coming out at that time. And I thought, well, maybe I could get one of them, because I can't back a trailer up. I suck at that. So I just would maybe put it on the back of a carrier. And so I put that out there, and I got a response. I got a lot of negatives because they would just come out. And then that's when Ricky from Wisconsin Women Fish contacted me. And she said, did you ever hear of our women's fishing club? And I'm like, no, I had never heard of it and stuff. And so I wound up finding out about the club through that one post on social media. And I've been with the club ever since.
What was that like the first time you showed up? I mean, was it like your first day at school, or you don't?
Yeah, it was. It was, and we tell all the new members, don't be afraid. It's hard. You drive to the event that you signed up for. The first one I signed up for was the winter beginner 101. And I drove up there, and it's like you almost turn around and go away because you don't know anybody. And within like 5 minutes of being there, it's like you've been there forever and stuff. So it's scary at first because you don't know anybody. And everybody is so welcoming when you get there that it just, you don't even realize you're in that environment once you get into it.
I mean, it's got to be a different feeling just to feel welcome in a group again, right?
It is. And they're so helpful. They Wisconsin Women Fish aren't a competitive group. They basically share all of their knowledge. They basically help each other. If you ride together for events sometimes, you borrow equipment. They have a lot of loaner equipment that people can use through the club to get started, so you don't invest in stuff that you might not want to do afterwards. So it's just an educational thing and a friendship, and the friendships go so far beyond the fishing part after a point. I have ladies that I meet up and do this or do that with now that, you know, not necessarily always fishing either.
Mm-hmm. What's more important to you in that sense, if you can balance, like being able to fish again or having that group of friends?
Oh, I wouldn't even be able to weigh that. I think it's just the combination of the two, having the avenue and the ability to go do the things. Like I said, I don't have a boat, so boat fishing when we have events and I can get into the other ladies' boats and go out on the water and stuff, that's so great. But when I get a message from one of them or a phone call from one of them, just checking up or just seeing what's going on, you know, that is as important as being in that boat fishing, but the combination of the two are like that's a bonus.
I mean, it may be hard to think of, like, what would your life be like if you hadn't found that group?
I have no idea. I always tell my son, he always says, yeah, that's all she does is fish all the time. Now she's never home and stuff. And I said, well, I said I could be fishing or I could be sitting in the window looking out the window like all old people do. But I just, I have no idea what I would be doing with my time. I do, my backup for fishing is quilting, and so I do quilting, but it's got to be the worst weather ever that I'm sitting at the sewing machine, otherwise I'm outside doing something. But yeah, my sons and daughter both, they said they're so glad I found the club because they work and they've got their families and their lives, and if I, you know, I don't know what I would be doing if I wasn't doing this.
I mean, do you think your husband would be happy to know that you found this?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm sure he's... A lot of time, I actually, most of the time when I'm on the water, I think of him, and I sometimes think that, you know, I'll say, hey, come on, you know, get out there and chase one and fish my way or do this or that, you know, come on, mate, let's get going up there. You got your job too. So I do talk to him when I'm out there a lot of times in my head, and I think that he's with me when I'm out there, and I think that's maybe part of why I like it so much is the fact that I still feel close to him even after 10 years that he's still with me.
Broadening out, how important is relationships with fishing? Because in this story, we found a lot of guys who it's like their singular thing. They've kind of given up families. They've lost wives and friends because they are so focused on it. But then there's other stories of people who have broadened their lives by the people that surround them in fishing.
Well, I think if you're a married couple and if one of the, either, and I'm not going to say man or woman because it can go either way, if one of the spouses is just always away from the marriage doing their own thing, to me that would make it a hard marriage. You know, it would be hard to, you wouldn't have the closeness and stuff when you're working together, whether it's on a job or out in the boat or, you know, doing whatever you're doing and you're doing it together. I think it just bonds, you know. Larry and I were married 42 years, and we basically spent every weekend, pretty much every weekend, you know, he would go with the guys on occasion fishing, and I went with the women and did different things and stuff, but most of the time, it was always together, and I think that just strengthens your relationship.
I don't know how familiar you are. Maybe you've heard about it from some of the younger women in your group, but online dating today can be a difficult thing. Okay. And we hear from some women about, you know, some of the guys that they see on the dating apps, just all of them have fish pics. Oh. that's the only time they smile. But I mean, when you think about the pictures that exist in your life, I mean, some of the biggest smiles come with a fish.
They do. They do. And then the memories of it, when you look at the picture and you remember what you were doing or who you were with and how it happened, that is just all part of that picture, that one picture. There's always a big story behind everyone. And those stories sometimes are inflated a little bit and sometimes they're not.
Well, walk me through some of the photos that you shared with me. Like, you've got the big walleye.
The biggest walleye. I have a picture you have of me with, caught that last year with Justin. He was out guiding me for the walleyes. And that was the biggest walleye I've ever caught. It was 27 inches. So that's my goal now, is to beat that 27. And that's how I do fish. I don't save a lot of fish because I'm just by myself. I don't need a lot of fish to eat. So when I do fish, I try to beat my personal best. And I also try to obtain what our club has as Master Anglers, which is a specific length on a specific species. And then so I try to see how many of them I can get each year. But yeah, my big walleye, that was the biggest one I caught. You have a picture of me with a muskie. That was the first muskie I had ever boated, had ever got in a boat. I actually did catch a muskie this last summer in my kayak, which was like 33 inches long, and got him in the kayak, but I couldn't get a picture of him because of that. You have a picture of me. I actually have gone to Alaska and fished up there. I've caught halibut up there and salmon and stuff. You have got photos of those.
And you've got some older photos of you and your husband, right?
Yes.
And are those any specific places?
Those are probably more, they were all, okay. Yeah, this, that top, those on there, one is a picture of my husband and myself and my granddaughter, and the fishing boat, the ones that he's in the boat, those were all taken up in Minnesota. That's where we went for vacation every year. We would go, we did that for like 13 years in a row. We found the place up by, Ash River Trail is where it is at. And we would go up there every year. And we actually, the very first year we were there, we met another couple up there and we got to be very close with them. And we'd meet them every year up there fishing and stuff. And then after Larry passed away, they're the ones who actually got me to go to Alaska. After he passed, they were going to Alaska and they sent me a note and wanted to know if I wanted to join them in Alaska. And so I've actually met them. I actually went out to Colorado and visited with them 1 year, and then 2 years I went to Alaska with them and stuff. So the friendships that you build off of fishing, you know, they carry on for forever. Even though we're so far apart and I don't go up to the Ash River hardly ever anymore. Once in a while when they are up there, I'll drive up for a day with them and stuff. But basically your friendships stay, it's locked in. You've got something in common, mm-hmm. I think.
I want to go grab one thing real quick and have you talk us through it. Well, we've got that. You just want to walk us through that photo, if you would.
Okay, this was a photo. This was the last time Larry and I went fishing together. This was our May and June vacation, just before when he got sick. So this was the last picture I have of him in the boat, and it's just a special memory because of it being the last one. But this was our last vacation up at the Ash River.
That's a good sized fish.
It is. It is. But I'm sure I caught a bigger one.
But then, I mean, that's him at the front of the boat.
That's him in the front, and it's walleyes. And as you can see, check the weather out. We've got the storm clouds in the back. You've got the chop on the water. That's a perfect scenario for walleye fishing.
And so, what's the sound that you or him would make when you knew you had one on?
Got one. Every time, got one. And the other person would know that they have to grab the net. Mm-hmm. That was always the key.
And who's the better netter?
He's a better netter because he had more practice because I was catching them.
That's a good answer. You gave him more experience.
I gave him more experience.
And so that's June of 2016.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And guaranteed that if you're fishing, all you have to do is get your sandwich out and the fish will start biting, or get your beer out and open it up. And as soon as you open a beer up, the fish will start biting and you'll never get to finish it. Those are a couple extra things to go with the bad weather. You can try to prompt the fish to bite.
Now, I've heard that you're not allowed to have a beer until after you catch a fish. And I've also heard that you have to have a beer in order to bring the fish in.
It depends on it depends on how slow the fishing is.
The scenario will dictate it, right?
Yeah. When I went fishing with Lauren and Sandy up there, the ones from Colorado, when I would go up and meet with them, if you're fishing their boat, anytime you catch a fish, and they fish strictly walleyes too, anytime you catch a fish, then you have to have a swig of some snaps. And everybody in the boat has to have a swig of the snaps when you catch a fish. So it can be a really bad day or good day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you really get into it.
You could.
All right.
So every person that fishes, they have their own little rituals or their own little quirks that they think make it better.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's strictly, it's going to be up to the fish at the end. He's going to win.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else that you want to add?
I don't think so.
Well, thank you so much for telling us your story.
Oh, thank you.
I think we're good with this part. I'm going to have you kind of walk Ethan through, like,
as you can see, I'm not a fish mounter.
Were those his deer down in the basement?
Well, two out of three.
Oh, okay.
One is mine. One is mine, two are his. He used to mount fish all the time. I had some really big northerns that he'd had, and we had different. But as they get older, and then I moved, and I'm like, they're not coming in my living room. I'm done with the animals in my living room.
Mm-hmm. Could I just have you guys
get out of the picture?
There, yeah.
So even with your fence, you still get deer coming.
Yeah, they wouldn't come through that side because it's pretty narrow, but they would come around, they'd go across my front yard and come in this side because it was a wider space open. But now they've gotten so they trust the narrow spot too. I'm like, oh dang it. I didn't think, you know, at first I never had any. I never had a deer in this yard till I planted an apple tree.
Hmm.
I planted that apple tree
over here and do some show and tell with Ethan. I'll be over here. Just kind of walk us through.
Okay.
What your wall of trophies is and where they came from.
Yep. This is my wall. This is the wall. This was the first award I ever got with the Wisconsin Women Fish, and that was Rookie of the Year. I was totally blown away because, one, I didn't consider myself a rookie, and two, at my age, to win a Rookie of the Year thing was awesome.
That's kind of funny. You were a ringer.
I was a ringer. Yeah, there you go. I was a ringer rookie. I have a lot of names at the club, but we won't go into that. So anyway, that was the first award I got. Let's see, the second one. Let's see, These are our fish camp. We do a fall fish camp event every year, and then we have a small one-day tournament up there. So in 2023, I had the third place for the pike, and I had first place for walleye. And then in 24, I had, let's see, which one is this? Walleye again for this one. And then this was second place for panfish in 23. So 23 was my really good year for winning awards. Last year I did was runner-up for Master Angler of the Year. So that's my goal again this year, to see how many Master Anglers I can get. But I keep trying.
When you had a lot of years where walleye was the main thing.
Correct.
Now with Master Angler, it's a little more diversity.
All right. Correct.
Are there moments where you're like, you know, I bet the walleye are biting, but I'm trying to catch something different?
It's like, hard. It's hard because you want to go fish with something you know you're going to catch, and then it's like, oh, but I got to move on and stuff. So right now I'm still working on the walleye for this year, but it's hard to choose which species, and it's hard to catch a lot of Master Anglers when you don't have a boat. So I rely on guides to take me out in their boats, or club members that call me up and take me out, which is awesome. And so, yeah, anybody that has a boat and wants to take me master angler fishing, I'm right there. Take it. But yeah, it's hard to target a lot of those fish without a boat. Mm-hmm. I do kayak fishing all summer, and you can do some of them for kayak, and I probably could be a little braver and do more of them, but some of the waters I'm just not that comfortable on by myself. So yeah,
walleye chop isn't
well. We've got ladies that actually salmon fish with kayaks, and they go to big waters with them, and I'm just not quite that brave.
Mm-hmm. Any other?
No, those
waters?
Are. That's it. Yeah, that's it so far.
I'm sure there'll be more.
I hope so.